in the very least. Eunice Moncho joins us next. We're going to talk about, it's absolutely crazy. The more I read about it, the more I get angry, nearly. And I'll give you some context. Last month, now Public Eye is a Swiss investigative organization. They revealed that two of the best-selling baby food brands marketed by Nestle in low- and middle-income countries not only contained high levels of added sugar and honey, but the similar equivalent product was sugar-free in its home country, Switzerland. So the kids in Switzerland are very, very healthy, and the profit is made, I guess, in the global south, in low- and middle-income countries. In the whole wide world. And Eunice is here. Eunice Moncho is here to tell us why this duplicity is even happening. Welcome, Eunice. It's great to have you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
So let's just jump into the deep end. Why this duplicity?
So what we've seen in the past is that Nestle, so this, the issue with cereals here in South Africa and the global south, having sugar, and in the north, the UK, the Switzerland, not having sugar, is a common practice of Nestle, really, because we know there was in 1980, there was a report, a release, the baby killer report, where Nestle essentially tested infant formula in Africa, in places where poor communities with poor hygiene practices, because they didn't have access to water, and it was a predatory practice then to test out the baby formula, and it's a similar, I guess, predatory thing here with what we see with the cereals. So it's a common practice really with Nestle, with the likes of Nestle, to take advantage essentially of the poor in the low middle income countries in Africa.
So is it probably, it's more profitable than to add sugar? Can I understand this? So there's profit motives in this duplicity.
Definitely. So there's profit motives related to it. I mean, for instance, just you and I as adults, we know that certain foods will be more palatable with a bit of sugar, right? So with the cereals, with that sugar that they add, it makes palatable for children. So as a mother who would not be familiar with the bad effects of sugar and wanting to buy food for my son, for instance, say what, a two-year-old, a young child, 7 months, 8 months old, if I realize that actually my child likes Cerelac, for instance, the Nestle Cerelac, I will be more prone to be buying that versus something else, because I see that, okay, my child likes this, and I will want to buy that if I don't know any better about it. And it therefore, it drives sales for the company.
Okay. And just stop me from going down the rabbit hole, but I'm going to go there nonetheless. Does the sugar in your formula give rise to a sweet tooth?
Definitely. So there are some studies that show that when you introduce children to sugar at a young age, they will have a preference for sugar moving forward. And you find that with children, when you give them a lot of sugar, what you tend to find is that they have suppressed appetite for other nutritious food. So let me make an example, for instance. So if I feed my child Cerelac with high sugar, or even give them like infant formula, which has much added higher amounts of sugar than normal breast milk, my child will be more prone to eat that. If I give them, for instance, pumpkin that I cooked at home with no sugar, they will not want to eat that because they develop a preference for sweeter tasting food. So it affects their taste preferences and their taste buds.
Okay, now this is the rabbit hole. Is it a coincidence that Switzerland also exports so much chocolate? But I'm not going to go down there. Eunice, I've got Tony on the line in Muizenberg. Tony, welcome. You want to weigh in? Tony, let's just press the button. Thank you.
From Nestle. Thanks for taking my call. I'm in the food industry, have been so for 30 years. And, you know, the case against sugar is all very well, but the reason sugar is being used as a filler or in such abundance is because it's cheap.
Okay. So it's a profit motive, pure profit motive, you're saying, Tony?
It's a profit motive. And then The same can be said for salt. Salt is added because it's cheap. And the same can be said for maltodextrin.
Yeah, these
the same can be said for chewing gum. And these are all additives. And, you know, we paying for these additives, but they're cheap additives.
What should we be demanding? You there at the coalface, you in the production space, what should we be demanding?
We should be demanding that on the label, that a seasoning is actually just salt with a bit of maize meal, maize flour, salt with maize flour, and then there's a few herbs in there, and then there's some MSG in there just to enhance the herbs. Your herb factor should be more than anything else. If you're selling a mixed herb, salt, seasoning.
Yeah, I think...
It's a big lie. All the cheap stuff, even current, the oil. The oil in chips is cheap. So when you eat flat chips or even crisps, there's a big value of oil in there.
Yeah.
And oil is cheap. Okay, not so much anymore, but it's still... Sunflower oil is still cheap. A cheap additive. Because it's cheap, it goes in.
Tony, you should be writing about this stuff, because I think there's a lot of ignorance around these things. We actually don't even realize what we are putting into to our bodies, and maybe there are alternatives that are affordable. But let's talk again about Nestlé. This is a big brand. Eunice Moncho is Policy and Program Manager at Hela. And you may be asking the question, what is Hela? It's the Healthy Living Alliance, and she's a food justice expert, Eunice Moncho. What are we demanding? How are you responding, and how should we be responding? And is this the only errant brand on the shelf?
So as the Healthy Living Alliance, what we're calling for, because us, Nestle, it might not be the only culprit with such practices, right? So what we're calling for as the Healthy Living Alliance is the ratification of the front of pack warning label. So it's a regulation, R337, which is a regulation which has been published by the National Department of Health, and was open for public comments last year. So what we're calling for is for this policy to be ratified, and what essentially this would do is that foods like cerelac and other foods which are high in sugar, high in fat and high in salt, as Tony mentioned, some of these foods are, they would have a simple front of pack warning label which is clearly labeled that this food is high in sugar, high in fat, and high in salt. Because like Tony mentioned, some of the ingredients in our food, like maltodextrose, people might not even know what that is. And these foods, the food labels as they are currently, they're right at the back of our packaged food. They're written in small. And that language is complicated. For someone who has not done anything in food science or nutrition, it will be difficult to understand. So what we're calling for is for regulations such as the R337 to be ratified to strengthen the food system and to regulate the food system and the food environment so that it's easier for people so that it's easier for us to know exactly what it is that we're eating and to be able to make those decisions for ourselves.
I hear what you're saying, but still we're saying we want to read what poisons we're going to put into our body. Is there not laws that can protect us better? Laws that have the best interest, the health of the children, at heart. Should we be doing more on the legislative kind of process in respect of especially food as it relates to children?
We definitely should be doing more. So what also the R337, this regulation that I mentioned, the front of pack warning label, is that it also calls for the marketing restriction of these kinds of foods. So what we often find is that, with children, like foods like those, like fruit juices, for instance, and those cereals, there'll be health claims related to it. But we find that they're actually not healthy. So what this regulation also calls for is for the marketing restriction of these foods so that they're not marketed to children with things like having a little cartoon on the box, because, you know, children are drawn to such things. So that's what we're also calling for. And the regulation that also exists, the R991, is a regulation which exists related to infant formula milk. And it's also the strengthening of that regulation that we would call for. But also another policy that we focus on as the Healthy Living Alliance is the health promotion levy. And we're calling on the government to include 100% fruit juices into this into the health promotion levy. Because what often happens is that there's this health claim related to 100% fruit juices. Because it's a fruit juice, people think it's healthy.
It's healthy, absolutely.
Instance, yeah, for like instead of a cold drink. But in actual fact,
it's got more sugar sometimes, yeah.
Exactly, it's got more sugar in some instances. What should be done is people should eat their fruit, because when you have 100% fruit juice, you don't have the benefits of eating a whole fruit where you have the fiber in it and other vitamins with it. And when you eat a whole fruit, you might eat one and you'll be filled enough. But with drinking fruit juice, you'll have much higher concentrate of fructose in it, which is extremely high in a glass of juice.
Eunice, I've got another phone call in. Eunice Moncho is the Policy and Program Manager at Hela. James in Simonstown is also warning that package won't be enough. James, welcome. Great to have you.
Good morning. I mean, it was wonderful that we managed to get the cigarette industry to print all the warnings all over their packaging. But unfortunately, the people are either just too lackadaisical or just suicidal. They still buy cigarettes, despite the fact they know how dangerous, in fact, fatal cigarette smoking is. It's not until the food industry is forced to actually not manufacture these dangerous items that we will really take a step forward.
Yeah, so you say more legislation, more laws to ban unhealthy products from entering our mouths.
Yes, we know cigarettes are going to disappear one day, maybe 50 years' time, but with food going into children's mouths, that's not adults making stupid decisions for themselves, that's children being the victims of lackadaisical parents.
Well, I think ignorant. I think they really think that fruit juices are healthy, and I think Eunice has just alerted them to another reality, but it's appreciated. Eunice, I'd like you to respond in a short while. We'll come back to wrap up this conversation.